Acts chapter 2 verse 22 and let us read to the verse number 13. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruits of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. This is not the end of the sentence, but I think that this verse is a highlight in this passage, so I stopped here. Let us now take a moment for prayer to the Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shining brightly by the power of Thy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, through the lips of the apostles, through the testimony of early believers. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray today that we may receive this testimony in a new light, with new depth, deeper insight and better understanding, that we may receive this testimony in the power of the Spirit of Christ, that the same Spirit of Thine may not only dwell in our hearts, but also enlighten our minds and fill us with Thy loving Lordship, Thy wonderful mastership, molding and shaping our inner man to Thy likeness, to Thy name's honor and glory. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, just like Thee, disciples in the olden times, we are also often burdened with fears and anxieties. Often, O Heavenly Father, we would rather trust in the locked doors and gates and other kinds of visible protection than to trust in Thy protection and Thy loving care for us, O Lord. But we pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou grant us to see, to be continually aware of that Thou art present everywhere, and nothing can happen without Thy will. And for all the difficulties that Thou wilt allow to come upon Thine own, Thou wilt also provide strength and understanding, that the Spirit that is within us may manifest its power, being greater than the power of the spirit of the world. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as Thou hast anointed David the son of Jesse as a very young man, and as Thou hast allowed him to suffer persecution, to be unjustly and cruelly mistreated and abused. And as thou hast allowed him, O Heavenly Father, to experience these struggles and difficulties, thou hast also provided thy protection, thy guidance, thy instruction, thy safekeeping of his soul. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this record, revealing how that King, whom thou hast anointed for a short time to rule over thy people here on this earth, is foreseeing and foretelling, having received thy great revelation, that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will suffer more than anyone else on this earth. And that having suffered, he will prove himself to be victorious and ultimately will triumph over the forces of evil. That he will prevail against the powers of darkness, and that the arch foe and enemy, Satan, will be permanently defeated under the feet of our sacrifice. Our sufferer, our leader, teacher, Savior, our King and our Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as Noah's ark through the storm and rage was safely aiming to Mount Ararat, and even though all of the humanity of that time committed suicide by deliberate disobedience of thy will, life and light and truth remained in the ark. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray today that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, thine only begotten one, thy beloved one, the one in whom thou art well pleased, that he himself may be our ark of the salvation of our souls, and that we always, to the end of our journey here, may remain in that ark of our salvation, that Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, may be our Master, our Lord. That at the end of our journey, we also may hear the reward that belongs to thee alone. Well done. Enter into the joy. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank thee for thy goodness and mercy. And we praise thee, Lord. And we pray for grace and power to worship thee in our deeds, in our actions, our intentions, our endeavors, in everything, Lord. And we pray, may this word of thine invade and flood our hearts and minds, that we may worship thee with every thought of our mind, every desire of our heart. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray today that thy will be done, and that truly and eternally thy name be hallowed, honored, exalted, glorified, just as in the beginning thou hast created light, and light flooded the universe. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that ultimately the glory and honor and the majesty and the power of thy glorious name, O Lord, may fill the universe, that all the hearts thou hast cleansed, all the souls that thou hast redeemed, all the minds that thou hast enlightened may be filled with thy glory, and that all the voices may blend together around the throne of mercy and grace, and worship thee, and worship thee alone, and worship thee forever and ever. Amen. Perhaps paraphrasing to present this message in today's English, if I dare to say so, having in my mind how limited I am in this language, but to show how I would understand it applied to a testimony or to the presentation of the gospel in our days, I think what the apostles have shared with the Hebrew Gentiles, because when the Lord Jesus Christ preached the gospel and when he completed his offering for our redemption, everyone that did not believe in the true God was a Gentile. And we know that who does not believe the Son has not the Father. Who has not the Father as God has something else. His or her own misunderstanding, ignorance. So I would say quite freely that all the Jews, though they were so much against the conversion of the Gentiles, they were the unconverted Gentiles even more than the Gentiles that never heard the gospel. So what the apostles are sharing here, they say a few words about themselves, about the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are Christians. And our manners, our behavior, our deeds, our teaching represents fulfillment of the old prophecies, prophesying of the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. I think it takes a lot of courage, or at least a lot of grace, to speak like that. Because if the life of these disciples at that time was contradicting this teaching, anyone from this crowd could have said, "You're the disciples of Christ? Christ didn't live the way you live." But because they were faithful, they had freedom and boldness to say, "This is what we believe and this is what we do." And then in the following verses, the apostles are talking about the signs that will happen before that ultimate last day, before the end of this world. And through these signs, they are revealing the power of the Almighty God being in control of the whole universe, and that power, though is visible in the regular, usual, common, natural ways. Right now, if we look outside this window, we see the palm trees and the palm leaves are waving back and forth. The wind is blowing. That wind is a great power of God. It's gentle now. It's not threatening. But it's a great power of God. All this vegetation that we see, that's all mighty power of the Almighty God. But these are the usual ways. These are the things that we are so used to that we forget that it is the proof of God's great power. But here the apostles are talking about unusual, extraordinary, and rather threatening signs of the power of God. He said here that the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. So what the the disciples are using in their presentation of the gospel is first explaining or clarifying who they are, giving their identity. This is what we are, this is who we are. And then reminding these people, these listeners, of the great power of God, which I believe did generate some fear and some concern in the hearts and minds of these listeners here. And then, in the verse 21, as I already shared earlier in our last meeting, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everything is focused on that one fact, the name of the Lord and His salvation for all those that believe. And then they are turning, I could say, in a way limited to this ethnic group, to this nationality, children of Israel, or to this religious group. But on the other hand, I could say, applied to any individual's experience, we could focus on the personal spiritual position and situation of one listener or a group of listeners. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. This is an accusation. Here, these people are faced with their evildoing, their iniquity. But God hath raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For they speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. I think in some brief, limited way I shared with you about this last time, but I think that much more than I can present to you, these verses could be repeated and re-explained and interpreted and applied many times in many different ways, and still the concentrate of the spiritual food would not be too much diluted, actually would be just brought down to the level on which we can digest it. There is a great joy, and often it's a quick joy, and sometimes it's not an eruption of joy, but rather a gentle relief in the soul of the person that realized Christ is our salvation. Here we read about read the words from David the king. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So, in not suffering the body of Christ to experience corruption, we see a strong foundation for the hope, the expectation that none of the believing soul will be left in death, but rather death is only an average from this life, visible, material, to the other, everlasting. In the verse number 28 we read, David is saying to the Lord, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. What are the ways of life? In Christ's resurrection, in his victory over sin and death, in the path of his example to us. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. We remember the old blessings that God has commanded to the sons of Aaron. May Jehovah, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May he lift up his countenance upon thee and upon thee and grant thee peace, and so on. Here we read that thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance, thy presence, thy radiance, thy influence upon my soul. Here at this moment in the verse 29, the apostles are once again directly readdressing the children of Israel. Men and brethren, let us freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. There is no doubt, no question that David's flesh or David's body might have been resurrected. No, the remains of David are still there. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, David's loins, among David's physical descendants, according to the flesh, he, God, would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. In this case, not only David's throne, but because David's throne was God's throne, Christ is on the throne of God. David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that Christ's soul was not left in suffering, in agony, in misery. Neither Christ's flesh did see corruption. It's a difficult combination to me. It is, perhaps for someone it's the easiest one, I don't know, God only knows. But here we see that the resurrection of Christ includes two things. One, the soul of Christ did not remain suffering, and the other, the flesh of Christ did not remain in the grave. Here, Christ is representing us in this presentation of the gospel, revealed as the soul of Christ suffered on our behalf for a short time, so our souls, or our being, our soul and body, may suffer here persecution and difficulties and rejection and so on for a short time. And as his flesh did not see corruption but was resurrected, we have a hope of that great resurrection, that none of us will end our lives in death of this body, but rather be transferred and be with the Lord. The apostles are further testifying, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. See how boldly, how freely they witness that? It's so obvious, it's so clear to them. They are quite positive about that. Now, if one of us had seen something that happened, suppose that we come and talk to the other people about something that we have seen, that we obviously experienced, and they are skeptical about that, they are not sure whether to believe us or not, we would be very free and very energetic in proving, hey, I did see it, I know it, is the fact. But if our faith is a shaky faith, if we ourselves wonder how much truth is in the scripture, or if we wonder in our thoughts how much these people that I am talking to know about some things in my life that I try to hide, then our testimony would not be bold. We would not be very free. But the apostles are free here, and they say, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. How is that going? Christ received the promise from the Father, and then Christ shed the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. Everything that we ever receive from the Heavenly Father comes through Christ Jesus. David is not ascended into the heavens, not in the flesh, not in his own body, not even in a changed body, but he says himself, David alone is talking about that, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. This is not the only time that this verse from the Psalm, I think Psalm 110, is mentioned here. I think that this was one of the very prominent topics or references among the early disciples. In the verse number 36, he says, or they say, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now in this verse, everything is joined, coupled together. All men are sinners, and all are guilty, and the sin is forever condemned before God. And God has his own way how he is going to apply and take care to complete that judgment against sin. And yet, there is only one salvation and one Savior, salvation in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So, let's ask this question. All of us that believe that we are saved, who saved us? God saves. He saved us from what? From hell. He saved us from whom? From himself. God saved us from God. In this case that we read about in Acts chapter 2, it did work. The influence was strong enough to move their heart, to stir up their minds. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What a wonderful question. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Well, they already were repenting. When they got pricked in their hearts, when they asked this question, they were already repenting. Well, someone starts repenting but never finishes. In this case, they seem to be willing to continue. Peter said unto them, repent. Don't stop halfway. Don't stop in the beginning. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent. Turn around. Surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey His will. Ask, pray for the strength to surrender, to forsake everything, to commit and continue to follow the Lord and Savior, His teaching. And baptized. Now, in this case, it could have been referring to the water baptism, or that part of the baptism, outward, visible, which would be quite, I believe, in harmony with all of the gospel. But this also might have been more inclusive. Baptism, inward, outward, complete. Give your heart and mind to the Lord Jesus, that He may fill you with the gospel, with the Spirit of truth and salvation. Remission of sins is received. Remission of sins, or freedom, deliverance from the judgment of God, is experienced by the faith and obedience of our Lord and Savior, faith in and obedience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the promise of the Lord. And until this moment, that promise has been fulfilled. And that's what makes the New Testament and the New Covenant so wonderful, so glorious. What makes the New Covenant similar to the Old Covenant is that the humanity, we as men, have never completely fulfilled our part of the covenant. And just not to leave any one of us desperate or in despair, I would like to say that Elizabeth and Zacharias, the priest, the parents of John the Baptist, were righteous, without blame before God, because I believe that they were striving to keep the law, and yet they did not miss to offer sacrifices. It's always the value of our relationship with God is twofold: all of His grace, all of our efforts, and then confession. He made it, we failed. Further, the apostles are saying, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, who's left out? The promise is to all the Gentiles, whether they were, according to the flesh, the children of Abraham, or the children of Noah. As many as the Lord our God shall call, have this promise in the Lord. So with many other words, they did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And it's a difficult task. Here they are invited to follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. Leave thy people, leave thy place, and go as I guide you. Those that gladly received the word of God were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Nowadays, I'd like to see one soul a month, one soul a year, and I don't. I often see the children following the path of their parents, or at least following the same group, same organization. But I would love to see the people converted just to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to any earthly interest, not to follow their parents, not to follow the occultic teachers, not to follow their earthly interest, some earthly gain, material gain. It's so rare. Here we read, they that gladly received the word were baptized. 3,000 of them continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Someone could say, well, if the Lord would give wonders and signs to be done today, there will be quite a few that would believe. No, there will be one that would believe more than what it is now. When the Lord Jesus Christ himself was doing signs and wonders, how many believed? How many stayed? How many continued steadfast? I think everybody knows the answer. But in this case, the Lord himself was doing what he appointed to happen at this time. All that believed were together, and they had all things common. Today, it's hard to say, to find two people that have common faith in Christ Jesus. But here, they went so far that they sold possessions and goods that they had and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That's something amazing. Something unseen these days. Singleness of heart. What do we have nowadays? Entangleness of heart. And they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.